Bon, eh ben écoutez, bonjour à tous pour cette rencontre où on va discuter avec David Lloyd un peu de son œuvre. Alors, vous le présentez un petit peu, David. David est dessinateur, il est anglais et il est surtout connu pour des séries qu'il a fait dans le début des années 80. Quand il a commencé son travail, il a dessiné dans une revue qui s'appelait Warrior, et il a dessiné des séries comme Raven, King Back et avec Alan Moore, V pour Vendetta. Alors bonjour David.
Donc bonjour.
Donc comme vous avez pu le remarquer, donc David, il y a une exposition qui est juste derrière où on voit les personnages de V pour Vendetta. Et David, cette série qui date des années 80 vient de rebondir dans l'actualité parce que comme vous avez pu le remarquer, la couverture, il y a un superbe masque qui peut-être David va nous dire un mot de ce masque qui est sur la couverture de V pour Vendetta.
Okay, well, the mask is really just a representation of a historical revolutionary in England, Guy Fawkes. We have a tradition of burning an effigy of Guy Fawkes every November the 5th as a celebration of the death of a terrorist who dared to try to topple the English monarchy in 1605. With V for Vendetta, we wanted to kind of resurrect that spirit. Our character adopts the costume and effectively the mission of Guy Fawkes in order to destroy a fascist dictatorship in an alternative England, which we... myself and Alan proposed would be the case in 1997. Of course, that time has come and gone, and thankfully, there was no fascist dictatorship in England, apart from Margaret Thatcher's regime, which came somewhat close to it.
Donc, comme disait David, donc, ce masque de Guy Fawkes était pour combattre un régime fasciste, et en particulier celui de Madame Thatcher dans les années 80. Et ce masque a eu une résonance actuelle parce que les indignés de Wall Street s'en sont emparés pour symboliser leur protestation, leur révolte. Et ce masque devient actuellement un des symboles universels de la révolte contre un certain système. Voilà. Donc, par contre, David, à cette époque, quand tu vous créais avec... avec Alan, ce personnage de V, quelle est l'idée qui vous était venue et dans quelles conditions l'avez-vous fait?
Well, as I say, the mask was really created to represent Guy Fawkes and that revolutionary spirit. So it was a kind of stylized version of the kind of Guy Fawkes masks that we can buy every around about November the 5th every year as part of the celebration of November the 5th. I'm very happy to see it being used in these movements across the globe, because the great thing about the mask is that it has no political movement behind it. It has no political party behind it. It's neutral. What it represents is protest. It represents a very pure protest against dictatorship, against tyranny. And so various groups have been able to use it in that form. To a degree, it's similar to the image of Che Guevara, which was used for many years by people who wanted to rebel against the system. Of course, the problem with the Che Guevara's image is it does have a political movement behind it, but the image of V is neutral in that sense, which allows it to be used without any kind of political bias. I think that's why it could be used very freely by any protest movement against any government or any tyranny that is perceived by those people protesting. And I know that there's in Nantes, there is at the Grand Place, there's a protest going on, which I would want to visit. later when I finish this show. That would be, you know, I'm very interested to see what's going on there too.
Donc, ce qui est intéressant dans cette, dans ton album, enfin dans cette histoire que vous avez créée avec avec David, c'est que cette histoire créée il y a quelques années a quand même une résonance actuellement. Donc, on est complètement dans quelque chose qui, à une époque, était de la science-fiction, de la projection ultime, ultérieure, et qu'on voit que ça résonne à l'époque actuelle et que les thèmes que vous apportez là, qui étaient déjà inspirés quand même déjà du temps de l'époque du fascisme allemand, on le retrouve aussi ça dans le dessin, dans les couleurs. Donc il y avait quand même quelque chose qui venait d'Allemagne et de ces mouvements fascistes allemands des années 30.
Exactly. Well, V for Vendetta was actually our model was Germany in the 30s. A lot of people think that it was a kind of satire of Margaret Thatcher's regime at the time, but that's, we didn't start it like that. We started with the model of Germany in the 30s, when society had become corrupted. They voted for anybody who would free them from hyperinflation, massive unemployment, and they didn't care what happened. So In Nazi Germany, what happened was that people were seduced by a monster who promised them everything. Adolf Hitler, of course, and the society became corrupt because it wanted to be saved from terrible circumstances. And in V for Vendetta, we posited a similar situation in England where everybody was in trouble after a global nuclear war, they needed to be looked after. So they voted, or they put in place, this dictator who ran the show for them. Vendetta was created because both myself and Alan were very interested in saying something about the situation that was happening in England that was kind of dangerous at the time in the late 80s. We had a neo-Nazi party gaining strength called the National Front, and both myself and Alan were concerned to sort of like do an adventure story that was like a warning. So that's how Vendetta really appeared. Both myself and Alan were very politically aware, and we wanted to not only tell an entertaining adventure story, but something that meant something as well.
Donc, quand vous décidez de vous proposer cette histoire à votre éditeur, évidemment, comme on est en Angleterre, donc la bande dessinée et le comics sont quand même quelque chose qui n'est pas très considéré en Angleterre et en Grande-Bretagne en général. Donc, vous travaillez pour un éditeur américain qui vous demande de créer un héros. Mais alors, vous créez quelque chose qui, par rapport au marché américain et par rapport au système de publication américain, est complètement à l'opposé des super-héros et des héros traditionnels. Comment cela est-il reçu par votre éditeur et par les lecteurs après?
Vendetta was originally created for a small English publisher who had limited distribution. And we weren't paid much to work on this magazine, but the compensation was that we had complete freedom and control of the character, which was completely unusual, because at the time that both myself and Alan worked on this character, all the other work that we'd done previously had been work for hire. We had no control of anything. We just were paid a page rate, and we couldn't do what we liked. So we had great freedom in the first publication of Vendetta. The publisher who originally produced the work ran out of money midway through the story. So we had to transfer. And at that time, Alan had become very, very successful working for DC Comics. He'd become a kind of comic superstar, probably the very first, I would guess, unless you go back to people like Jack Kirby and all those guys, and so DC Comics were very happy to publish anything that Alan had produced, and and Karen Berger, the editor at DC, wanted to continue V for Vendetta, including the executives at DC Comics. So I don't think the political aspects of the book really made any difference to them. You have to remember that at the time we were working in comics, and when that was produced in America, there wasn't much political comment in comics, and it was under the radar. People didn't really think about it. So nobody really was concerned about what we were saying about society politically. It was just a very good story from a really great writer and a great artist, of course, and they were very happy to continue it.
Donc ton éditeur ne tenait pas compte finalement de messages politiques, il s'occupait uniquement des partis pris graphiques et que l'histoire soit publiée régulièrement. Quoi. C'était pour lui une série de plus dans son catalogue.
And in fact there was no editorial control over what we did, despite the fact that DC was a completely different animal in publishing from the publisher we'd worked with before. They were just very happy to let us do what we wanted, and I think they were right. It's been a very successful book for DC. And I think you have to remember that the bottom line for most corporations, publishing or otherwise, is, you know, to make money. It's like that's the most important thing, and unless you're doing something that is directly subversive towards the American government, then you know they're happy to publish you.
Alors, juste une petite question anecdotique comme ça. Crois-tu que maintenant tu pourrais publier V pour Vendetta chez un éditeur américain avec les changements qu'il y a eu, le politiquement correct et des choses comme ça avec... Attention, est-ce qu'on pourrait encore le publier ça? Ou une série équivalente dans le même esprit, comment dire, politiquement très incorrect, même très subversive?
I'm not sure. Perhaps. If we were doing it for an American comic book publisher now, then they would probably want to see the whole story and what it said, rather than the circumstances in which we did Vendetta for DC, which were ones in which we had complete control and nobody was really concerned very much at that time. I don't know. I mean, it's a question about whether the state is more concerned now. I guess after 9/11, most of American society is very concerned about subversion and terrorism, and that probably goes through the whole of society. And in fact, when people were talking about the possibility of a movie of V for Vendetta, I never really thought that they would make one because, you know, making a movie about a terrorist who blows up buildings is something that I never thought that a movie company would consider after 9/11. So I was always surprised that they actually made it. But that says a lot for America itself. There's a lot of bad things said about America and American society and how tightly it restricts things. But it is at its heart still a democracy which does allow free speech. So maybe it wasn't so surprising, but I personally was surprised that Vendetta was made after 9/11 as a film, but thankfully it was, and it spread the message of Vendetta to a very wide audience, and without it I don't think the preponderance of the image of V through Occupy Wall Street and other movements would have happened. So it's been good all around, I think.
Donc on va revenir un petit peu à la jeunesse de V pour Vendetta. Quand vous décidez avec David de créer ce héros, d'utiliser le masque de Guy Fawkes, est-ce qu'avec Alan vous aviez quelque chose de prêt au niveau du scénario? Est-ce que l'histoire était construite? Ou l'avez-vous construite au fur et à mesure des 6 années qu'ont duré votre collaboration sur ce projet?
Vendetta was actually made up as we went along to a large degree. There was a basic structure that we worked on that gave us a kind of model, but nobody knew what was going to happen. We didn't know how it was going to end, but the basic construction of an urban guerrilla with a grudge against the dictatorship who had escaped from a concentration camp and wanted to overthrow the dictatorship. That was our basic construction. And then the whole Guy Fawkes idea was a kind of insane brainstorm of mine that I thought would give us a needed element in the story, which was a kind of flamboyance and eccentricity, more of a theatricality and more of an adventure character, which is what we both needed. And we started off with that, and it just grew from that point. And a lot of the things that happened, a lot of the developments were accidental. I mean, the core of the story, the Valerie Page sequence, which is really for me the heart of the story, about individuality and the need to hang on to your own personality despite what everybody says around you about what you should do and what you shouldn't do and who you should join and what you shouldn't join. That whole thing happened by accident, because there was, I think in chapter 11, there was lots of expositional material that Alan had described, which included V, the character V, in the shadow gallery, but didn't specify where he was. And I thought it would be a good idea if he was, like, maybe in some private cinema, looking at some photographs or a slideshow of a lost love or something like that, because I was concerned about the fact that V was a very mysterious character, but there was no humanity attached to him. And I thought if we showed him looking at photographs of somebody, someone he cared about who he'd lost, it would be a good idea. And at the time, I knew an actress who had sent me some stage shots, the sort of thing that an actress has to give to an agent. And I asked her if she'd let me use those for this, and she said yes. So that was an accident. And thankfully, Alan just bounced off that idea. He saw the potential of that, and the whole Valerie Page sequence happened because of that accident. And there was a lot of things happening in V that were accidents, like Guy Fawkes, an accident, you have a crazy idea. And a lot of creativity is like that. You don't plan it. You let it grow. And when you let something grow over a period of time, the potential of it grows bigger and stronger. And I think that's one of the reasons why Vendetta is so good. Because in the early days, we were working on it very slowly, and it grew organically. And so that's why I think it developed into as good as it did.
Avez-vous pris conscience, ou quand avez-vous pris conscience à un moment que vous faisiez une bande dessinée, une histoire qui allait faire un peu l'apologie des mouvements anarchistes ou communistes? Alors communiste aux États-Unis, c'est quand même un gros mot. Est-ce que vous avez eu conscience de ça à un moment, de cette évolution?
Well, I don't. Well, the I would like. I would contradict you. I don't think that V is a representation of anarchy or communism at all. I think that there is a message in the original book which is about the value of anarchy. Alan, at the time, believed that anarchy was a politically viable way of running a society. I don't believe that, and I never did. I think that it's an impossible utopian dream, actually. Anarchy never works because at some point centralization has to take over. Human nature won't allow for a perfect anarchic system, not in my view. But I think the message of V is really, most importantly, about protest against tyranny. That's and in fact that is the message that was proposed in a major way through the movie. Hollywood can't really do anarchy. It can't do anarchy. So the major message of the movie is freedom. And personally, I mean, that's the most important message for me of the movie and the book. Individuality. Not being pushed around. I think at its heart, V is anti-fascist. It's anti, we've all got to join a club. We've all got to be conformist. The key for me about Vendetta is not being conformist. You can't be pushed around. You can't be oppressed. Don't tell me what to do. I have a right which I need to express. And that's not about being an anarchist or being a communist. It's about just opposing being pushed around. And I think that is the spirit in which the mask of V is being used throughout movements like Occupy Wall Street and other protests. They're not saying I'm a communist. They're saying I am sick of the way things are happening, and I want change, and that's an important thing.
Donc c'est un message contre anti-idéologique finalement.
I think it is, yes.
Donc, on voit sur l'écran des images qui défilent et qui nous montrent ton dessin. On peut aussi encore mieux les apprécier quand on passe dans l'exposition. Pour cette série avec Alan, est-ce que tu as dû chercher des solutions graphiques, des solutions de dessin, ou est-ce que tout ce que tu as fait, tu l'avais déjà à ta disposition? Ou as-tu été rechercher autre chose, soit dans le noir et blanc, et après on parlera peut-être des couleurs?
Okay. My attitude to my work is basically that I see the story, and I decide what style I will use to make that story work. I mean, I can see on screen now you've got a cartoon, which is like nothing like V for Vendetta, but it's like you basically just tailor your style to suit the story. Although I am naturally attracted to sort of like dramatic thrillers of one kind or another, so I tend to sort of like lean towards that. But every story has a different need. And for instance, I did a story a few years ago about Cambodia, and I thought it was a good idea to use Chinese brush style painting for that. But I couldn't do that. But I knew an illustrator who lived near me, and she could do that. So I said, look, can you do some of these kind of drawings, the drawings that you do? And I put them into the work because I wanted that oriental, that kind of feeling of Cambodia that I didn't think I could capture completely myself. So for me, it's very important that you look at the story and you use the style that you need. It's like, I know on screen now you've got this, well, for a minute you had a ghost story, which I used all grey washes on, which gives it the mood that you need. So it's all about the story. And for Vendetta, it was originally published in black and white, as you know, And what I did there was, I thought, well, we're telling a story about a very stark, bleak future. So what do? You use a very stark, bleak style of art. And that worked. It's simply applying a style to a subject. So.
Donc d'abord publié en noir et blanc, et après le choix des couleurs aussi qu'il a fait, est-ce toi qui l'as indiqué, parce que c'est quelqu'un d'autre qui a fait les couleurs, toi et Alan, vous avez choisi, vous avez discuté avec le coloriste, de choisir peut-être ce mode enfin, très crépusculaire sur un monde qui se un peu en décadence et qui s'écroule, avec aussi à mon avis, tu me diras si je me trompe, mais quelque chose qui vient un peu des impressionnistes allemands ou de cette époque des années 30.
Well, there was a in terms of the color of V for Vendetta, I just did the best I could in terms of using the right colors. So there were no strong colors involved. Most of the colors used are muted, unless the printer. The big problem in the coloring of V for Vendetta was that the printers didn't really care. At the time that the V was published in America, the attitude of the reproduction department was that as long as Superman's cloak is red and his outfit is blue, then everything's good. And there wasn't too much sophistication involved about anything else. That's all different now. With computer coloring, it's all great now because you can do exactly what you want to, you know, send a CD or a DVD to the publisher and everything's good, hopefully. But that was the problem with the coloring of Vendetta. And Alan wasn't involved with it. It was like all the artistic judgments were left to me, really. And there were two great colorists working on Vendetta, Siobhan Dodds and Steve Whitaker, who's no longer with us, I'm sorry to say. But these were great colorists. And if the printing had been better, everything would have been great. In some of the versions of Vendetta, it's better than others. I mean, I've seen some versions in France which are very well printed and they look good. In others, no. But that's just one of those things. That's, you know, if you're an artist, I mean, I heard stories from lots of my colleagues about their frustration over color in those years. You don't hear stories like that anymore because things have moved on. Technology is much better now. So, but we chose the right colors and we hoped for the best in the printing, which we didn't always get. But we did the best we could. And I have to say that initially I was asked to if I wanted to have it continue in black and white as it had been in England, but I was asked that because at the time, this is around 86, there was big success with black and white indie comics like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was a big success in black and white and a little publisher, so DC thought, well, maybe we can still do black and white. But I knew that color still was the preferred reading material of anybody reading comics. And so I thought it was important that we continued the book in color. So it was my choice to do it in color. And I think it was a good choice because it's reached more people. Because a lot of people still won't buy a book in black and white.
Sur un plan économique, oui, en général, c'est mieux. Donc maintenant, David, on va essayer de parler un peu bon, de tes influences. Bon, finalement, tu es venu à la bande dessinée par goût, par envie, quand tu étais jeune. Mais quels sont un peu les auteurs qui t'ont marqué, soit, bon, évidemment, en dessin, mais de faire de la science-fiction, de travailler dans un domaine comme ça, ça peut venir aussi de lecture, de la littérature, de tes, je sais pas, tes lectures d'enfant ou tes lectures plus tard.
Yeah, absolutely. I was well. I mean, it's nice to be in the same convention here as Norman Spinrad, whose work I really enjoyed. I loved, and in fact, Agent of Chaos is one of the inspirations for V for Vendetta, along with Fahrenheit 451, and of course George Orwell's 1984, And Alan was very influenced by Harlan Ellison. V was very influenced by lots of these strands of science fiction that we both had read. In fact, I think Vendetta is so good because we were both on the same wavelength. We, both myself and Alan, at that time, liked the same movies, had seen the same TV series, and read a lot of the same books of the same authors. So it was stimulated by a lot of that of those influences. And I'm a big fan of Ray Bradbury is my favorite author of all time in science fiction. And Richard Matheson, I Am Legend was like, I was absolutely astounded by I Am Legend. I bought that, I remember buying that and reading it before lunch. I bought it in the morning and read it before lunch because I couldn't put it down. And I it's a fantastic book, and I wish somebody had made a good movie of it, but nobody seems to have done that yet. But yeah, I was very influenced by science fiction as a kid, and also illustrators. I know that Terry Pratchett has visited the convention here, and one of the illustrators that's very well known working for Terry Pratchett is Josh Kirby. And Josh Kirby used to do book covers for English paperbacks, and that's some of my earliest memory of really great illustration, unique idea about portraying things, and so I really I'm heavily influenced by Josh Kirby, and well, I can go way back if you want me to go. The great painters like Turner. Turner was a massive influence on me. A painting in the National Gallery, Ulysses deriding Polyphemus, is for me still the best painting I've ever seen in my life, and still my favorite painting. Rembrandt, Millet. I can go on.
On pourrait continuer pendant longtemps, oui. Donc, avec V pour Vendetta, donc, vous avez connu pas mal de un gros succès dans les pays anglophones, en langue anglaise. Quand l'album est arrivé dans les pays francophones, c'était un énorme succès aussi, à la suite de ça. Et comment dire, quand tu l'as évoqué tout à l'heure, mais quand vous avez fait cette série, imaginiez-vous que le cinéma voudrait un jour vous prendre, parce que c'est quand même quelque chose qui se fait beaucoup, le cinéma s'inspire beaucoup de la bande dessinée actuellement, et en particulier des comics, pour produire des films. Imaginez-vous que votre série serait adaptée soit au cinéma, ou alors peut-être pour la télévision, ou que cette histoire aurait des prolongements plus universels que le livre?
Yes, absolutely. Because in fact, I have to tell you that while we were doing the original story for England in 1984, both myself and Alan were actively involved in trying to get it made as a TV series and as a movie. We sent copies of it to EMI. You won't know these companies, but EMI and TV companies. David Putnam's company. We sent it everywhere because we knew it would make a great TV series or a great movie. And at the time, we owned the copyright of it. You know, when it was sold to DC, we gave them the copyright. Otherwise, it would not have been continued. So, but up to the point that we sold it to DC, we owned the copyright. So we were in a very good position to sell something. But nobody was interested. Nobody saw the potential of it. So, you know, we certainly imagined that it would make a good movie and a TV series. But we didn't know how successful it would be generally. I don't think either of us imagined. And especially when it was published in America, I was really surprised at how successful it was. Because, I mean, it's not a very usual-looking character for American comics. It has... and nobody knew who Guy Fawkes was in America, so it was kind of bizarre. I think the reason why it was successful, it had those elements. It had all those classic elements of an adventure comic strip, which saved it. I mean, a lot of the elements in V are very classical, very classical. You know, the sign on the wall, it's like Zorro. It's, you know, he dresses up, he's got a cloak or a cape. It's all very classical in one sense. So it wasn't so surprising. But V as a character was very unusual in the setting of American comics at the time. And also, interestingly, kind of ambiguous sexually. The character is sort of like had this kind of appeal to men and women in a very interesting way. So it was very unusual, that we were so successful with it in America. But after it was produced as a graphic novel in 1990 and collected, and it was published here in France and then everywhere else, I wasn't so surprised, because it has universal themes. It talks about things that are very important to every one of us. And sadly, there are still dictatorships everywhere in the world. There's somebody telling you what to do. And democracy does not reign supreme. So it's no surprise that it strikes a chord in many countries.
C'est une histoire universelle qui dure depuis la nuit des temps, la lutte contre la dictature, le fascisme. Et cette histoire a toujours été retombée. Et c'est votre histoire, V pour Vendetta, est devenue, comment dire, une graphique nouvelle, un roman graphique, et maintenant quelque chose d'incontournable dans les fonds de librairie, dans l'histoire de la science-fiction et de la science-fiction en bande dessinée. Vous êtes devenu quelque chose, je ne vais pas dire culte parce que le terme est un peu fort, mais un livre comme ça qui a une durée de vie qui continue avec le temps, parce que beaucoup de choses sont assez éphémères dans la production littéraire ou de bande dessinée. Là, cet album qui dure depuis 20 ans et qui occupe les rayons et qu'on a toujours. Je suis libraire et c'est un album qu'on vend tout le temps. Moi, je trouve ça magnifique d'arriver à ce résultat.
I can't disagree.
Tu peux le bon, ouais. Bon, Alan, V pour Vendetta, c'était une histoire de ta vie, mais je pense que tu as fait autre chose avec Raven ou Quickback. Tu as quand même des univers, tu es même travaillé dans des univers qui sont proches du roman noir, des histoires un peu noires, un peu sombres, dans lesquelles, même que ce soit science-fiction ou pas. Je pense que tu aimes bien ces univers-là.
Yes, I do. I'm, you know, that's just me. I can't, you know, it's almost like I can't change that. I'm always interested in thrillers and dramas and stories of dark quality, and I can't do anything that's like kind of quiet or sort of like domestic, because it's like I think. For me, ordinary life, ordinary banal existence is not interesting. I see great success for books like Blankets, you know, Craig Thompson's Blankets. Yes. And there are great works like that around. But for me, it's a completely different world. I've always been interested in those sort of like those things that have got strength and sort of like action. And even the cartoon stuff, I mean, you look at the cartoon stuff, it's still got a sort of like a bit of guts to it. So it's something I've been attracted to. And in fact, I was in Italy just before this at Lucca, the festival there. And I was helping to launch a collection of short stories of mine called Materia Oscura in Italian, which is a translation of the English title, which is called Dark Matter. And that's the title of these stories because they're all kind of like ghost stories and have a sort of theme of darkness. And in fact, if there are any French publishers here who are interested in doing a French version of it, then always, you know, please come up and say hello, because it's a nice collection of stories, not just my own, but also with people like Pete Milligan, and Steve Bissett. So it's a nice collection of about 10 stories with introductions to each one. But that is called Dark Matter because that is something I'm interested in. And you know, that's me. I can't escape it.
Oh non, c'est très bien. C'est comme ça qu'on aime ton travail. Voilà. Bon, vous avez quelques questions à poser à David. Est-ce qu'il y en a quelques-unes dans la salle? Est-ce qu'il y a des gens qui seraient intéressés? Je vous en prie.
Que pensez-vous des Anonymous et est-ce qu'ils servent ou desservent l'image de V?
Positive, because I think what they represent is an opposition to tyranny. It's what I said before. It's very difficult to. I'm not in a situation where I can support the actions of any one person or any one group that uses anything I've created as a tool. But on a general level, I think it's good that that is being used, that image is being used, because it is neutral, and that is the most important thing. Commentators, I've been interviewed by various journalists about this situation and the use of that mask. And I often find that commentators, journalists rather, want to give a spin to it. They want to say that the mask... In fact, one reporter from the New York Times... mentioned to me, oh, it's a devil mask, isn't it? It's like, you know, because there is this old traditional image of Satan with the moustache and the little beard, which of course it is. But it was like, it was implying that the mask was somehow evil in its intention, which it isn't. But that spin will happen all the time through journalism. Because when any movement that is simply a protest against tyranny, against the way everything is, everybody knows that everything's... You and I know that things are really wrong here. You know, we constantly bailing out the bankers all the time. You know, they got us in this trouble, and we're still giving them more money to get us out of this mess. Now, that's all wrong. Everybody knows that's wrong. But the protest, this global protest, Occupy Wall Street and all the... They're simply saying this is all wrong, and we're just protesting against it. And I think it's good that there is this... That V represents this completely neutral protest. It's a symbol of protest that is against tyranny. And that can't be bad.
Qu'est-ce qui vous a plu dans le film, en fait? Ou qu'est-ce qui vous a déplu? Qu'est-ce que vous en avez pensé, en fait?
Trying to take my wine from flies there, sorry. I thought the movie was a good version of V. In an ideal world, it would have been better if it had been much closer to the original. In fact, Larry and Andy Wachowski wrote a screenplay some years before the movie, which was closer to the original. But I think you have to remember that in Hollywood, it's a different world. There's more money involved. The demographic is different. They need to appeal to a wider audience. And so there are all these factors that come into play. That's what happens. But I think Larry and Andy Wachowski were always fans of the original. And even though they changed things, in a way that I think you can equate to sort of fan fiction, I think they loved the original and they wanted to add to it. But because they were fans of the original, I think it turned out to be good. It turned out to be much better than could have been the case. So I think it was a very good version of the original and a very powerful movie. And the most important thing, well, the two important things for me. One is the central core of the book is still in that movie, the Valerie Page sequence and what that represents. And also, the other thing is that the movie reached a lot of people. And a lot of people saw the movie and bought the book. And so the sales of the book went up. More people know about V. They've read this. So you get the copy, the imperfect copy, and you can get the original. And you're made aware of the original. And you can buy it because it's everywhere. It's not hard to get. So I think, from my point of view, I'm very glad it was made. And I'm very fond of it. It's got great acting. Natalie Portman, Hugo Weaving did a beautiful job. And I just see it as a different version of the original, but still very powerful and a very good ambassador for the book. So.
Tout à l'heure, vous parliez de couleurs assez fortes et travaillées dans le livre. J'aurais voulu savoir si vous pensiez du coup qu'il y avait une sorte de symbolique dans ces couleurs-là et lesquelles vous préférez du coup utiliser, s'il y en a que vous avez choisi pour ensuite les laisser ou enfin comment vous avez géré en sorte cette colorisation au niveau du choix.
Well, as I think I said, there were no strong colors used in the book. We avoided strong colors. I mean, in fact, one of the colors I didn't want to use at all was red. Because red, when it's printed, just shows you, it just like burns out of the page. So we avoided reds almost completely, except when the printer gave us reds when we didn't want red. But, often the printing, I would produce a light yellow, and the printer would give me a bright yellow. I mean, that was the problem with the color. But there were colors that we used in different points, and I supervised the coloring. There were times when we just used white. I think in the assassination sequence where Rose Armand assassinates Susan. I suggested that we just had that she be in white, so that she saw her in white, always coming through the crowd. But it was simple things like that. But there were no real symbolic values to the colors that I used in Vendetta.
Y a-t-il d'autres questions encore? Bon ben. On va terminer. On va.
Do you think it was easier to publish the book in the US since the story was setting in the UK? That didn't think that would apply to them.
Well, I think it was. The question didn't really arise. I mean, that's a very interesting. Yes. Okay. If we had not been free to do exactly what we wanted to do in England, we would not have done that story. We would not, we were talking about things in that comic book in England that had never been talked about in English comics, apart from underground comics at all. So it was the essential freedom in the UK comic that gave us the freedom to do what we wanted to. I don't think if we'd have done it for America, we wouldn't have had the same freedom at all. So it was that starting point of being able to do exactly what we wanted to in the UK that gave us that freedom. And then they were happy to publish it in America. But I have to say that in America at that time, as we were working through V, there was an interesting change. There were new creators taking different viewpoints of old characters, like Frank Miller. Frank Miller's Dark Knight was radical at the time, and there, so there were a bunch of people who were working along the same lines as us in America, but not the, to the degree that, that, that we did in the UK. So it was essential that in the UK we had that freedom. If we'd have tried to do that in the mainstream comics in 82 that we did then, we wouldn't have, I'm sure we wouldn't have been able to do that. So yeah, it was the initial publication in England that that allowed us to do what we wanted, thankfully.
Bon, bah écoutez, on va remercier David d'avoir consacré tout ce temps et de, merci de l'avoir écouté. Et puis on va lui souhaiter quand même de continuer à nous faire des beaux albums. Et puis voilà.